The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, on today's show, everyone, we've got a stimulus deal, if you can believe that. So what's next with this whole damn thing? We're going to show you what we know this morning, so we'll dive into those details. And striking mine workers head to New York City to tell Wall Street that they are sick and tired of poor working conditions. They went right to the source, right to Wall Street. This was an interesting striking yesterday, and we'll show you that video and hear from some of the miners that's not getting any mainstream media coverage. They literally go right to Wall Street, and there's no mainstream media coverage of this at all. You won't see it on CNN. You won't see it on Fox. You won't see it anywhere. You can't talk about it, I guess. And Capitol Hill riots, day one. We saw the testimony yesterday, some really troubling testimony. And Jim Jordan, Republican Jim Jordan, has some splaining to do this morning. We're going to play you his audio and see him backtracking this morning. So Morning Invest on this Thursday morning starts right now. And good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Welcome in to the show. Let's get right to it this morning. Let's talk about the stimulus deal. You got to give these guys credit. Somehow we have to give these guys credit. They actually managed to pull it off. The bipartisan infrastructure group of 10 senators and the White House managed to actually get an infrastructure proposal locked down on Wednesday night. They worked pretty hard to get this done, so I don't want to take away any credit from these guys. They actually did some pretty hard work on this, and they got a large majority to vote on this to advance it to the Senate floor. Even Mitch McConnell signed off on it and voted for it. Final passage could come at some point next week on this, a potentially huge breakthrough. After weeks of intense negotiations around this entire process that almost fell apart several times. Here was the press conference last night when that group got together. This is the happiest I think I've seen these people in a long time. They look relieved. Here is Senator Rob Portman in saying that we've got a deal.
All right. First of all, thank you all for joining us for another later evening. We will be going back to do further discussions on infrastructure tonight at our offices because we want to be sure we get the final text prepared and out. But tonight's also a time to pay tribute to my colleagues behind me who have put together something truly extraordinary, which is a $550 billion much needed contribution to our nation's infrastructure. And it happened from the center out. In other words, at a time when Washington seems broken, this group came together. At a time when Washington seems broken, this group of members behind me came together, along with others, and decided we were going to do something great for our country. Every American believes that roads and bridges, ports, waterways, even our digital infrastructure needs to be updated. They know it.
So they got it done. They got it done. We will wait for a final text on this whole thing. But Rob Portman, they worked hard on this thing. Give them some credit here. This was not easy. One of the big sticking points at the end here was transit. You know, how much money was going to be given to rural communities as opposed to urban communities? So they nailed that down finally. They had progress on all of that, and they moved forward. I should
so
mention.
Can we see the bill?
No, not yet. You can't see it. Not yet.
We can't see it. We don't even. So they all passed it already, but we don't know what's in it.
Right. So here's what's next. So just so you, we can start sinking our teeth into the text of this. So here's how this is going to unfold over the next few days. So a vote on the motion to proceed, which would put the Senate on the infrastructure bill. Okay. So then they'll actually be working on it on the Senate floor. This is a simple majority vote. Typically, Democrats then would then lay down the amendment, which they wanted to add. In this case, the bipartisan infrastructure agreement would be the amendment, which would be then hitched to the legislative vehicle that we spoke about before. And then we'll have to see if the text is ready. So this is what we're talking about. When is the text going to be ready? There's a lot of writing that they need to do in the next few days. I mean, if they want to go on if they want to go on their August vacation, they've got a lot of writing to do. This weekend, they may have a weekend session. I hope they have a weekend session. They've got to get this done. Or next week. Then if the text is ready, then the Senate will start voting on the amendments of this bill. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell may have to work out some agreement on some of these amendments. And then they'll probably have a weekend session next week, the first week of August, where they will finalize it the first week of August. So that's where we are. We don't have a text of it. It's still unfinished. And by the way, it failed just a week ago. I mean, think about it. Like a week ago, this thing was dead in the water. And finally, they pushed through and said, look, you know, there was an initial sort of filibuster by Republicans on this. Republicans were saying, we're not going to do it. We're not going to be involved in it. And they kind of pushed through on this. Among them was Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, who said he wasn't going to be involved in it. He said that he was going to stand up 100% against this bill. That was a week ago.
I wonder what they threw in it for him.
Right. So that's
like, we're on board. Let's throw this in for Mitch. Let's throw this in for this. And isn't there still a chance that Pelosi could block it or whatever? Or is she completely out of it now because of Schumer?
Well, it's because it's an amendment to their initial bill. So we already have their framework on infrastructure. And this is basically an amendment to the House version of the bill. So, you know, down to rabbit hole on it, but
you can almost guarantee that, you know, when this passes and we finally get the text, we're going to see why they were all so excited and bipartisan.
Yeah, they're all super happy because, you know, we're going to see how many pork projects, we're going to see how many bridges and roads will be named after different people in this committee. You know, how many people's pockets have been lined as a result of it. And we're going to see all of that in the next week or so. You know, you weren't here yesterday, but I talked on the show about, you know, in behind closed doors, the Senate Armed Services Committee was able to, without any hesitation, quietly pass an additional $25 billion to add to our military defense budget yesterday or 2 days ago. Bipartisan support. Behind closed doors, the public didn't get to see it. It basically went to help build more, shore up our nuclear weapons. Like $25 billion. No argument, not public probably hearing, nothing.
Popping champagne bottles and...
Yeah.
I mean, they're probably all... Like we don't get to see their face behind the scenes when they get to pass those bills.
No, they just pass them quietly and we learn about it in the press and no consideration at all. But even if the Senate agrees to begin considering the bipartisan framework, final passage remains uncertain because Republicans are going to will demand an amendment vote and input on the bill to once again sort of face this 60-vote threshold to close the debate. So we'll see. The Senate's going to probably work through the weekend and make progress on the proposal and try to get this all done before the August recess.
It's like, okay, so we're going to give you $500 billion over 5 years. People realize that it's over 5 years. It's not like here's $5 billion to infrastructure now. It's 5 years. Right. And 350,000 of it's probably going to Raytheon, Lockheed.
Oh, of course.
Their infrastructure.
We have to see the bill before we...
Our CEO's chair at Raytheon creaks when he sits in it. We can't have that. It's a $400,000 seat.
I love that Kristen Sinema, by the way, was one of the lead negotiators on this. See her just
like...
Was
she the one standing back there?
Kristen Sinema, yeah.
She doesn't even look like she's like, I want to be somewhere else.
Because they travel on
those roads. Did she curtsy on her way out? Did she go?
Well, we're going to get to her in just a second.
Was she like, I'm out of here?
Yeah, of course. That was the raising the minimum wage, right?
Yeah.
$15 an hour minimum wage. Curtsy, I'm out of here with my nice bag.
Yeah.
You know? So she was one of the lead negotiators on this. She said, She wanted to thank everyone who is deeply committed to demonstrating to the country and to the world that our government can work.
Right. It can work when it benefits them.
Exactly. I love how we pretend. Like we've really, I mean, obviously this is benefiting you. This is benefiting the, you know, the, what you're going to bring back to Arizona. This benefits, you know, this benefits your, what you're going to get your name on back in Arizona. Of course it does.
Maybe she's getting the cinema, like a movie theater named after her or something.
There is discussion that Elizabeth Warren, I mean, there's some progressives who are, you know, are not happy about it. Elizabeth Warren saying, you know, there are things I like and there are things I really don't like.
And she can't, and is she not saying what the thing she doesn't like is because they're not letting anybody know what's in it yet?
We don't know.
So she's just like, there's some things I like, there's some things I don't like.
No, I've been going through what they are. I've been going through a number of different text documents this morning on what might actually be in this bill, and there's nothing, we don't know yet. I mean, we really don't. So where are you coming down on the, you know, where are you coming down on these questions? We don't know. I don't know what she's really doesn't like. We won't know, I guess, until next week.
Well, you know that every, so you've got Manchin and Sinema back there, right? In the camera. So they obviously wanted them on camera because it's like, they've been messing everything up. Let's get them in there and show that they're finally working with the people so we can, you know, make them kind of look good again. They look bad there for a while. But if they're standing there and they didn't want minimum wage increases, they didn't want anything for people, then you have to know that something in this is benefiting them and not us. Otherwise, they wouldn't be standing there.
I mean, look at the laundry list of people that's in this, you know, in just this press.
Deal with.
Look at that. You've got Joe Manchin back there, Kyrsten Sinema. You've got Susan Collins of Maine, Rob Portman. You know, all people who said no to raising the minimum wage for the American people, right? To $15 an hour minimum wage. So we can stand up there and talk about investment in jobs, but we can't support Medicare for all. We can't support a $15 an hour minimum wage. None of it.
Well, and was the trillions of dollars that Biden had first said he wanted to get out of this, was that over 5 years also? Like, has this been over 5 years from the beginning? Or did they cut it in half and then spread it out over 5 years?
Well, it was supposed to be spread out over a number of years in the original House bill. So it was going to be spread out. It was never going to be an all at once. Here's in 1 year, we're going to spend all of this money on these bridges and roads. Like, it's going to take 5 years of implementation. That was from the beginning.
Okay. But understand, we're spending $750 billion a year on infrastructure for countries that we destroy. $750 billion a year, where we, the American people, the United States, is getting $100 billion a year for 5 years. So do the math on that. $750 billion for the Middle East for us to rebuild and police the world, and $100 billion a year in the United States for our infrastructure.
I mean, we continue to send money to countries that we claim to have an adversarial relationship with on top of that. But we cannot provide $15 an hour minimum wage for the American people. Of course not. Of course we can't do that. So there you go. That's the first piece of this. But yeah, look at that. Look at those happy guys.
Thanks for working together. Thank you.
Wi-Fi to be able to do your schoolwork or your work or get your health care. So people know that it's needed.
People know that. Yeah, they do know that. That's
what he just said
for years. Talk about Wi-Fi and infrastructure for broadband and that sort of thing. So we got more to get to here. We're going to talk about what's up next for this $3.5 trillion human infrastructure package and why that woman right there in red could be standing in the way. But first, this. I know that many of you want to build a better future for you and your family. You want to make more money, and that's why Skillshare is sponsoring today's video. You see, if you want to learn how to trade this market, make life-changing money, then you need to spend the time learning, and you can do that right now with Skillshare. Skillshare offers thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing,
and more, like day trading the stock market. Exactly. Like, I highly recommend the day trading class called Tackling Trading with Matt Justice. He's a successful trader and a teacher, and he gets you set up with his 7 steps to trading class. You can check that out and you'll be up and running in no time. Or maybe you want to start a YouTube channel of your own and share your message with the world like I do. Well, there's no one better than Marques Brownlee, who teaches you how to script, how to shoot, and how to edit and build a powerful YouTube channel. It's incredibly affordable. You could be on your way to trading this market or building your YouTube channel. And what's amazing is the first 1,000 people to use the link in our description will get 1 month free trial of Skillshare. Again, the link in our description. The first 1,000 people to use that link will get a month free trial of Skillshare. Thanks, Skillshare. All right, thanks to Skillshare. And let's move the stories along today. So we just talked about the first part of the stimulus deal, which is the infrastructure piece, the roads and bridges piece of this. Well, now we have to wonder what's going to happen with this second piece of the infrastructure package, which is the $3.5 trillion infrastructure piece. And it turns out that things aren't going so well if you're the Democrats, and you have to worry about what's going to happen with Kyrsten Sinema, who, of course, was there, standing there just a few minutes ago in that last video we showed you, supporting the bipartisan infrastructure bill. So here she is now, basically saying, I'm not going to stand any, this really doesn't stand any chance, the $3.5 trillion. This is the human piece of this. This is the piece that I've been most interested in. She says, basically, does not support the $3.5 trillion budget plan, major components of President Biden's agenda. And she told the Arizona Republic on Wednesday that she had reviewed the Senate Budget Committee's spending framework and has told the Senate leadership that Biden that she supports many of its goals, including job growth and American competitiveness. I've also made clear that while I will support the beginning process, I do not support a bill that costs $3.5 trillion. And in the coming months, I will work in good faith to develop the legislation with my colleagues in the administration to strengthen Arizona's economy and help Arizona's everyday families get ahead. So just a number. Like you're okay with the amount of money that we shovel towards bombs and bombing other countries, but this number laying out for families for healthcare, for early childhood schooling. For daycare for families, for child tax credits, for immigration reform, all of these pieces, for the human infrastructure piece of this, fixing schools, can't handle it. Can't handle the $3.5 trillion.
Come on, man.
Exactly. And here she is. I mean, this is what Rashida Tlaib said. You know, Sinema seems not to care that her own state is flooding, the West is burning, and infrastructure around the country is crumbling. Sinema is more interested in gaining GOP friends and blocking much-needed resources than fighting for her residents' future. You know, and of course, a lot of people believe that she is, like, why hasn't she flipped parties yet? Like, why, she's in Arizona, she's in Trump country. She's trying to align herself with Republicans. Why hasn't she flipped yet? Like, why is she still caucusing with Democrats? Can anybody figure it out? I mean, all Senate Democrats would have to vote.
Why are any of them caucusing as any other? Like, we just need to, like, call it one party, Democrats or Republicans or something like that, because it's just one party now.
Well, I mean, not according to Trump. Because maybe that's why, you know, they're trying to align themselves either one way or the other. But the group that came out in this infrastructure package yesterday, they're going to be primaried. So President Trump sent out this note yesterday about anybody who was going to work with Democrats on this. I'll get to the note in a second. But he's threatening to primary GOP lawmakers who favor the bipartisan infrastructure plan. 17 Republicans just voted to advance it, including Mitch McConnell, and he's threatening to primary them.
I don't wear a toupee.
Here's what he has to say. So, you know, he can't take to Twitter anymore, so he has to release these Office of the President statements.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States.
Here's what he says, and I'll read it. Hard to believe our Senate Republicans are dealing with the radical left Democrats in making a so-called bipartisan bill on infrastructure. With our negotiators headed up by Super Rhino Mitt Romney. That's his new nickname for Mitt Romney now. Super Rhino. This will be a victory for the Biden administration and Democrats and will be heavily used in the 2022 election. It is a loser for the USA and a terrible deal and makes the Republicans look weak, foolish, and dumb. How can you be foolish and dumb? It shouldn't be done. It sets an easy glide path for Democrats to get beyond what anyone thought was possible in future legislation. It will be a continued destruction of our country. Our borders are horrible. Crime is at an all-time high. Taxes and inflation are going way up, and the economy is going way down. And now this. Don't do it, Republicans. Patriots will never forget. If this deal happens, lots of primaries will be coming your way. Okay, first let's unpack this. Radical Democrats? Radical left-wing Democrats? Radical left-wing Democrats were left out of this process. Radical left-wing Democrats, if you want to even call them radical, I mean, is Bernie Sanders radical for wanting health care? Wanting a $15 an hour minimum wage? Like, wanting good schools? Is that radical? This is the kind of brainwashing. This is the kind of brainwashing.
Yeah, it is brainwashing. But like anybody who, but the thing is, like, you know, none of them are radical for us, or otherwise they would be using the power that they actually do have to favor us. They could get more things in these bills if they were like, no, we're not voting for it. If they came together, all of the radicals, quote unquote radicals, came together, they could get more out of these bills.
Yeah, of course they could, but they don't. Instead, they just take to Twitter and they tweet about, you know. Like Rashida Tlaib, you know, Rashida Tlaib, by the way, she's one. She takes to Twitter a lot. You know, she's one of these, she could be considered a radical lefty. She's not in these negotiations. Radical. You know, radical is Omar and Tlaib. Cody says, and their anti-American rhetoric. They're anti-American?
They're not anti-American.
I think
they're just like anti, you know, actually doing anything. They're pro. I mean, you know, the thing is, like I said, when Biden first won and Bernie Sanders, you know, lost to him, he had so much power at that time that he did not utilize. AOC has a ton of power on social media and all that stuff, and she's continually losing it because she continually chooses to advance her career rather than standing up for the people. They're all doing that. Anytime they have an opportunity to do something like Medicare for All, like force the vote, if they have an opportunity to do things like that, they back down. You never hear from them. They don't utilize the power that they have, because the power that they have could make them unpopular with the other senators and congresspeople, but it'd make them more popular with the people. I guarantee that.
You know, and does it make it anti-American, though, to call out America's problems?
Heck, like, no.
That's the thing. I don't understand that. When you call out America's issues and you point out the inadequacies, does that make you anti-American, or you want to improve, you know?
That would have made all the founders anti-American.
Right. Anytime we've added an amendment to the Constitution, that would have made them anti-American, I guess, right? Stand up for women's, stand up for America. Stand up for America. Just to unpack that a little bit further, you know, so you're, first of all, these left-wing radicals, by the way, I think he's just upset that he couldn't get this done while he was president, by the way. You know, he couldn't get this done while he kept saying, we're going to have an infrastructure week. Remember that? Never happened. He couldn't get anything done on infrastructure. So now he's upset about it, that they put together a package like this. That they're going to fix roads and bridges and so forth and broadband and across the United States. But he's upset about it. He also says that our borders are horrible and crime is at an all-time high, which is absolutely false. Crime in the United States is not at an all-time high. That's very easy to look up, by the way. It's very easy to look up. And taxes and inflation are going way up. As if that's somehow Biden's fault, and that's somehow Republicans' fault, or somehow it's not anyone's fault except a pandemic with supply and demand. That's it. So anyway, you primaried. He's coming for you, Republicans. He's coming for you if you vote for infrastructure.
I don't wear a toupee.
He's coming for you, Joe.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Joe. He's coming for you. Better believe it. You better believe it.
Better believe it.
So, you know, again, all Senate Democrats would have to vote for this budget reconciliation bill for it to pass, a 50-50 chamber, where Vice President Kamala Harris would then be the tie-breaking vote, right? The package is crucial, obviously, for Biden. And if Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin say that this price tag is too high, we need to come down. We're okay spending this amount of money on bombing other countries, but when it comes to helping our own country, we just can't do it. We just can't do it. So there you go, Kyrsten. I don't know. You know, she's the fact that the fact that she's already out there and she's not even like she's just bothered by the price tag.
Right. The price tag. Like it's her money.
Right. She's really concerned.
She walks into the Congress carrying a Coach bag. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it like a Coach or whatever? Like
yeah.
some designer bag. And she's worried about our money. Like she's panicked because they're going to spend our money. Like we are telling them how to spend our money. We have voted. We have taken polls. We have said, hey, this is how we want you to spend our money. We want you to send it to us. We want you to help us. They're like, no, we're not going to help you with your own money. We're going to send your money over to create more wars. We're going to send your money to our donor buddies. We're just going to distribute your money wherever we see fit, but you don't get a say in it. Once you give it to us, it's our money.
AOC tweeted, good luck tanking your own party's investment on child care, climate action, and infrastructure while presuming that you'll survive a 3-vote House margin. Outside of the Beltway, Arizona State Representative Jennifer Longden, a Democrat and small business owner, highlighted the need for additional funding for adults in the healthcare realm. See, we need this. Why would our own senator be against this here in Arizona? Arizona was just ranked last in CNBC's roundup of worst states in the United States to live in for health, medical attention, air quality, infrastructure.
I mean,
you would think that she would maybe take heed with that and like, I want to do something about it in Arizona.
Maybe it was rated the worst in health because it's where all the elderly people go from all the other states when they have health conditions. They're like, you need to move to either Arizona or Florida.
No, I mean, it literally is because of the actual care that you receive there.
Yeah.
It's really terrible.
I mean, if just honestly, it's terrible in every state. I mean, if we had Medicare for all or something like that, like, okay, that's one thing. But like, you don't have that in any state. People are dealing with like there should not be medical debt in this country. There should be zero medical debt.
Yeah. When's that going to go away?
Yeah.
Would love to see that go away. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk about some amazing moments. You want to see this video from Jim Jordan yesterday over the Capitol Hill riots testimony. And this guy's in a lot of trouble and some real serious questions about what he knew, his involvement in speaking to Trump on that day. We'll get to that. Also going to look at these striking miners in Arizona and in Alabama that headed to Wall Street. And this is some unbelievable footage we're going to show you on Wall Street. And finally, people, and by the way, mainstream media didn't cover it at all. I should mention, someone emailed me last night and said, Clayton, hey, FYI, you don't need to remind us that the mainstream media doesn't cover things. That's why we watch you. And I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Maybe you're right. But maybe I do need to remind people. Because if you're just flipping through YouTube for the first time, and you're like, what is this news show about? And you're like, I typically watch MSNBC, or I typically watch Fox, or whatever. All of the mainstream media are a bag of liars run by corporate interests that only push a corporate narrative, and they keep you, they foist fake news on you from top to bottom. So I think I do need to remind people of it, especially if you're new here. Like, how many people watching right now are new to the channel? If you're new, well, this is...
And that's my argument with everything that we've been talking about the vaccines. I catch a lot of crap for my conversation with you on the vaccines and stuff. And I understand. And other things, like I'm probably going to have to bite my lip on the Capitol riot one. But like when all I'm saying is you guys are taking what the mainstream media is saying and ignoring all of the things that are being silenced. If you try to search for things on Google, they're blocking things that could be potentially true. And you're trusting the mainstream media to put it out. So all I'm saying is there's another narrative out there. You just have to be willing to find it. And it's getting harder to find it because YouTube's scrubbing it. Google is scrubbing it. Facebook is scrubbing it. They're getting ready to start scrubbing it from your text messages. So it's like, if you want to find other voices, it's getting harder and harder. And that's like, it's okay for Clayton and I have a discussion, and it's okay for you not to agree with me, but to call me a conspiracy theorist and report this channel and things like that. Like that's, you know, we need to have conversations and, you know, we don't have a trusted source in this country to say, if there are people that are suffering, why is nobody going down any kind of rabbit hole and investigating it? The media should at least say, hey, there's this going on. We're going to investigate this. But like, you know, 2020 and those places that used to do these investigations, Clayton, I don't know if you know the story, but you remember there was a group of people that were getting ready to do a story. I believe it was on 2020 on the milk industry or something. And they had all of their sources and everything. And then they're like, you know what? They're one of our sponsors. We're not going to run this story, even though it was something that was health related. And so the whole story was pulled and they had done all this research. So it's like, if it affects their advertisers, it doesn't go on the channel. And so you have to understand that these big pharmaceutical companies that are paying these news organizations billions of dollars a year for advertising, they don't want you to know the adverse effects of this stuff. It should be they should not have if you guys all agree that, you know what, there's a percentage of people that should suffer for the greater good of the world, then, you know, that's fine, but they should at least be talking about it. These people should at least be able to voice their problems on the news or voice it so that we can hear the alternative voices. So that's my problem. It's not, you know, the fact that, you know, that all this is going on. I understand that if you're trying to fix something. Oh, you can't? Oh, I don't have it on.
No.
Yeah, it's not a matter of I understand that if you're trying to fix something, there can be adverse things. But the thing is, we should know about it. There should be some kind of investigation going on to find out just how much we're being told or not being told. And Cody,
what was this? I missed this. Cody mentioned something about Omar and they were anti-American. And so I'd missed his follow-up. So Cody, what was your follow-up to this? You said they're anti-American. I think that's what you said, right?
Yeah. And we don't scrub stuff. There's sometimes where YouTube, if you say a certain thing, YouTube will pull your comment. We don't do that generally.
We don't do that.
It has to be pretty bad for us to pull your comment.
YouTube added all sorts of filters now that they get rid of hate speech. They get rid of like swearing. All of this stuff. So
yeah.
I don't know what you might have said, but, so we also, and they don't allow links and there's a whole bunch of stuff. So, you know, but, anyway, so yes, we're going to get more. We want to be able to share, you know, the real stories and the real news, and we're not driven by any corporate agenda here that doesn't let us run a story. Because, you know, just like CBS had to do back in the day, if you ever watched The Insider, the famous, you know, the Russell Crowe movie on the smoking industry, there were corporate lawyers basically had them remove the piece of the main story about it because they were worried about being sued in their advertising. You know, like this is how they do it. This is exactly how they do it.
Wolf Clan is saying, David, how high is your integrity? Would you be able to go against a big sponsor of you if they didn't like your opinion? Of course I would.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we've had, here's an example, right? Here's an example on this channel, right? Amazon Pharmacy has sponsored our show. How many times do I blast Amazon? I mean, right? I mean, I blast them all the time. Amazon Pharmacy has sponsored our show.
I actually am a full-time streamer on Amazon.
So I've blasted them repeatedly, called them out right here. So I'm not afraid to do that at all. I'm not afraid to do that at all. So thank you guys for supporting independent journalism. Thank you guys for becoming a channel member and supporting what we do here. I really appreciate it. We've got more stories to get to on the show today. What's that?
Justin Peacock said Twitch isn't censored. Yes, it is.
They're all censored. All of these big companies, you know?
Well, you know what's crazy is they're censored to the tune of, like, if they remove your comment and too many people are in here saying things, they can actually remove our chat, and Clayton, the channel, can actually get a strike for your comments.
Yeah, that's what YouTube is doing now. Like, if you guys say something that YouTube deems to be in the fringes or whatever, having a conversation about medicine or what, I mean, who knows, right? Or alternative forms of health or holistic, whatever it happens to be. YouTube can, like, just deem it one day, and they can literally strike my whole channel just because you guys in the chat are saying something. Not even something I said.
I consider myself a free speech purist. And the thing is, like, you guys have to just look. Like, there were facts about the Hunter Biden story out there on the internet, and Facebook scrubbed it, Twitter scrubbed it, YouTube scrubbed it. They scrubbed this story completely off the internet to only find out later that it was actually true. So if they're scrubbing all of this information so that we can't get a counterpoint of view, so that we can't at least go down a rabbit hole to do some investigating, because they're not doing it for us. There's nobody doing any investigation on any of this stuff. We're not hearing about military spending. We don't hear that $750 billion of our money is going away. The only way you know we're in a war with Somalia right now is because you hear it on channels like this. You don't hear it on the mainstream media. So,
two or three stories that you're going to hear right now that you're not going to see on the mainstream media. We're going to get to two of them in just a moment, especially the miners and what CNN did yesterday.
Yeah.
So,
and the thing is, like, that is the threat that we're against, is the more that they try to thwart free speech and even, like, blocking the president on Twitter. I know a lot of people are like, yes, that should have happened. I disagree. Like, the more that happens, then it's going to start coming out to channels like this, who are not as fringe as they consider those people. It's going to keep going tighter and tighter and tighter until the only voices you do have are Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, who we all know are lying.
Facebook. Yeah, I mean, look, we had during when Trump got yanked off of Twitter, you know, I was one of the first people to say, I think this is wrong. Like, you're censoring this guy. You're censoring the president of the United States. And I had tech friends, you know, that I've known for many, many years that said, you know, this is great. They should have absolutely done this. And I said, be careful what you wish for, because you might hate everything the guy stands for, everything the guy says, right? I can't stand Donald Trump, right? And, you know, but so what, now we just block people that we just totally disagree with, and it's going to start to come to you next. So be careful what you wish for. And we already started seeing it happening to progressive channels, right? Because they don't want that story out there. You know, corporatists don't want Medicare for all. They don't want you to not, you know, they don't want you to be free of student loan debt. They want you to pay four times as much for prescription drugs in the United States, because they make so much money off of it. And so do their advertisers. And so channels that are telling you we need Medicare for all and lower prescription drug prices, guess what happens? They get pushed down.
Mm-hmm.
They get hidden. They get hidden because it doesn't support corporate interests.
And that is why it's so important that, you know, like, if I were in a position of, like, AOC, if I were in a position that she's in, you wouldn't just see me tweeting. I would be in there using my power. I wouldn't care what Nancy Pelosi thought about me. I would not care what any of them thought about me, because, you know what? If I was in there and I utilized my power and I used the power for my people, those people would become evangelists of yours rather than just supporters. Like, you would not lose an election again if you actually went in there and fought for the people. But the thing is, they say they're going to fight. They say they're going to do this. And then when it comes time to actually, like, okay, I've got some power. I've got some leverage in this. I could use it. But, you know, I kind of want to advance my career. I'd hate to lose this job, you know. And so they choose not to use that power. So, you know.
Francis is saying this is partially true, Clayton. But Clayton, what Trump did was very dangerous, and we're still paying for his antics. Well, I agree he's dangerous. We're going to talk about exactly how dangerous he was in a second. But what I'm saying is that the reason that Twitter gave, that Jack Dorsey gave for yanking him off of Twitter, was hilarious, because the things that he cited happened months beforehand. So he was hypocritical. And there's way worse stuff that had been happening on Twitter than what Donald Trump was saying, by the way. And then who gets to decide? Like Jack Dorsey and his corporate. I mean, Facebook hired military screeners to tell us what is okay to be on Facebook. Military industrial complex screeners to tell us what's okay for Facebook. Like, these are the people that they're hiring to tell us what is free speech, what is okay, and what's not. What's hate speech? What's violence, promoting violence, et cetera? I get all of that. And yes, it is a private business.
But also, if you look at what we're still paying for from the Clinton era, from the Bush senior era, from the George W. Bush era, we're still paying heavily for the things that he did. I would argue way more than what we're paying for with what Trump did.
Yeah, I mean, we could go down this rabbit hole even more deeply, but we've got a lot more to get to on the show today, and we're going to get to what happened at the Capitol yesterday with Jim Jordan and Alabama miners and a whole bunch of other stuff. So I got to keep the show moving along, guys. Thank you for the great context here and questions here. I want to tell you about our friends at ScoreMaster. So a lot of you watching right now dealing with a credit score that's not so great, right? Did you know the average American has 97 points they could add to their credit score, but no idea how to get those points? Well, the data scientists at ScoreMaster cracked the code on how. Adding 97 points to your credit score is like found money. It means fast loan approvals, huge discounts, low interest rates on everything from buying or refinancing a home to leasing a new car to applying for a credit card. How fast is ScoreMaster? One member raised his credit score 33 points in just 5 days. Another 43 points in a couple of weeks. ScoreMaster is so easy, it takes about a minute to get started. And if you hurry, you could get to try ScoreMaster for free. That's right. Try ScoreMaster free and see how many plus points you can add to your credit score. So go to ScoreMaster.com/invest. That's ScoreMaster.com/invest. Once again, that's ScoreMaster.com/invest. There you go. There you go. That is ScoreMaster. Our thanks to them. All right. Next on the rundown, let's talk about the Capitol riots and some pretty heartbreaking testimony yesterday from different members of the Capitol Police. Obviously, those people who served with members who were, you know, who were killed that day at the Capitol. The people who, we got to hear haunting stories of people that, you know, had brought all kinds of weapons and intended to shoot people in the head, intended to assassinate members of Congress. We heard about all of that yesterday. So we're just sort of getting to the beginning of this, but I don't want to get too much into the testimony. What I do want to focus on, though, is what Jim Jordan had to say. And, Jim Jordan put his foot in his mouth yesterday, basically trying to cover up the fact that he spoke with President Trump on January 6th, the day of the riots. Just watch Jim Jordan here try to spin this and try to get away with like trying to hide this from the mainstream media when Brett Baer pushes him on this question. Watch this. And then we also have got another piece of video I want to show you back to back with this. Watch.
The committee is obviously going to go down a number of different roads about who knew what when, who was talking to coordinators of the protests. Did you talk to the former president that day?
I've talked to the former president umpteen times, thousands. Countless times. I talked to the president. I never talk about what we talk about because I just don't think that's appropriate. Just like I don't talk about what happens in Republic.
Look how nervous he is. Like, no, did you talk to him on the 6th? I don't care if you talked to him any other day, but like, did you talk to him on the 6th? And he's like, I'm just not going to answer. I talk to him all the time. I'm going to talk about what I talk about.
Well, based on seeing him in Congress during testimony and stuff, when he's questioning people, he looks like he's like done a line of cocaine or something before this interview.
He always does, man. This guy looks, I talk to him all the time. It's like Kramer in that episode of Seinfeld where he gets the free coffee, you know, the unlimited free coffee. And he's like, I want my cafe latte. You can't tell me I can't have my cafe latte. I have a cafe latte.
Republican conferences. So sure. I've talked to the president numerous times. I continue to talk to the president.
No,
since
I mean
left
on
office.
January 6th, Congressman.
Yes, I've talked to the president. I've talked to the president so many. I can't remember all the days I've talked to him, but I've certainly talked to the president.
Yeah. So you just you look how nervous he is. January 6th. Oh, that day wasn't special, right? I don't know. I talked to him all the time. Yes, I talked to him all the time. So he quickly like scoots in there that he spoke to him on the 6th of January. I'm sorry, you don't forget something like that, right? January 6th, like a huge day in American history, okay? A huge day in American history. We all remember where we were. We all remember that day unfolding. And especially if you're in Congress and you're talking to the man who just a few hours earlier invited people to go down the street towards the Capitol. Go down the street towards the Capitol. Like, did you speak to him that day or not? Like, that's, you would remember that. Like, we all remember where we were on September 11th when we first heard about what was happening. To older people watching our show right now, I'm sure you remember exactly where you were when JFK was assassinated. I'm sure you remember, I do, exactly what happened the day that the Challenger exploded, where you were, right? I bet you could all say it. David, do you know where you were when the Challenger exploded?
I was in the library of my sixth grade classroom, I believe, watching it on the TV, on a roller cart TV.
Yeah, I was home from school that day. My mom, she was painting the one bedroom. We were watching it on TV, and I couldn't believe it. You know, we all remember this stuff. You would remember speaking to the President of the United States on that day.
And on that day was. Can you share any of the insight of what he was thinking about that day?
Brett, the people we need to come testify are the people who can testify to the fundamental questions. Why didn't the United States Capitol, the People's House, have an appropriate security posture on that day? And what have we done? Those are the people we need to hear from. Yeah. That's the information and testimony we need to get.
Not the people that encouraged people to break into the Capitol. Fomented violence on the Capitol. We don't need to hear from those people. We just need to find out just about the... Look, I get it. I get that Republicans really, really, really don't want to acknowledge their own party's wrongdoing in any of this, right? As far as January 6th is concerned, because obviously the party exists to serve Donald Trump, right? Right now. And the literally, it was all a part of his big lie that he didn't win the election, right? So that he could right now, and we now have the proof in this, right? $75 million that he's raised because of a super PAC to fight election lies, as we talked about this earlier in this week. Not a penny has been spent on actually fighting the election. It's all gone to him for lavish dinners, for his own private jets, for his legal fees.
McDonald's is not lavish, Clayton. I don't know how many times I have to tell you that.
Hey, I don't know if you've had the McRoyal Deluxe. That thing is pretty lavish because you got...
Ready? You have the cameras rolling?
You got an extra tomato on there.
there's lavish. No tomato on his sandwich. Are you kidding me?
That's true. There's no vegetables in that guy's sandwich.
No.
Oh, man.
I want a burger with three pieces of cheese. Keep
I
those
want
pickles
four
and
patties.
Green stuff.
It's like
I don't eat what my food eats.
Newman. No broccoli, foul weed. You know, and we know the whole reason for Jordan's deflection here is because he wants to deflect it to Nancy Pelosi. Like, why, as Speaker of the House, isn't there more money spent on Capitol Hill police? Right. Like, okay, so that's the deflection. You're going to point that in that direction. So if you spoke to Donald Trump on that day and you speak to him multiple times about what he was thinking, what he was doing, who he was commenting, was he keeping the National Guard away on purpose? All of those things. Why didn't he come help Mike Pence, who they had set up gallows outside to go hang the Vice President of the United States, saying we're going to shoot him in the head?
My opinion is the reason they didn't is because they obviously knew they weren't in that much danger. I mean, I say this every time this story comes up.
Who wasn't in that much danger?
A group of people were able to get into the United States Capitol. There's video that people don't ever bring up of sticks being passed out of the bottom of the Capitol, handed to people to break windows and stuff like this. They were getting let in by people. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah, they opened the doors for people.
Yeah, so they were moving the gates out of the way.
But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't get Trump off the hook, and that doesn't get Jim Jordan off the hook for having to be subpoenaed. I mean, the question now becomes, should this guy be subpoenaed as a result? There's more to this, because he can't remember if he spoke to him on the 6th.
That's what we should focus on. But I don't think that Benny Thompson, the chairman of this committee, said everything's on the table until we raise this issue about the speaker's office is the one who knows what the security posture and why it was the way it was. Once we raise that question, he said, well, everything's on the table.
There's some confusion over what you told Brett Baer on Fox News on Tuesday night, so I want to clear it up. First off, yes or no, did you speak with President Trump on January 6th?
Yeah, I mean, I spoke with the president last week. I speak with the president all the time. I spoke with him on January 6th. I mean, I talk with President Trump all the time, and I don't think that's unusual.
It is unusual to speak to him on the day that this is happening. I speak to him all the time. Look, he clearly has something to hide here. Clearly. And dodging these questions on this.
I would expect members of Congress to talk with the president of the United States when they're trying to get done the things they told the voters in their district to do. I'm actually kind of amazed sometimes that people keep asking this. But of course, I talk to the president all the time. I talk with him, like I said, I talked with him last week.
On January 6th, did you speak with him before, during, or after the Capitol was attacked?
I'd have to go. I spoke with him that day after, I think after. I don't know if I spoke with him in the morning or not. I just don't know.
Look at that nervousness, though. Like pulling up his pants. I don't know. I'd have to look. Well, how are you going to look? Well, I mean, it's easy to do on phone records, right? You could easily see that. Did you call the president? Would that all be subpoenable, right? That'd be very easy to find out. You're speaking to him multiple times? Like, did you know? Like, were you begging? Like, you were there, and there were people running for their lives and wondering whether or not the National Guard was going to come in and save people. You know, Mike Pence had to be whisked off. Apparently, there was like one corridor away from where he was, like, the group was about to capture the vice president of the United States. Like, laugh about it all we want. This is no friggin' joke, in my opinion. And so, did you or didn't you speak with him? And what did you talk about with the president that day? And you're on the committee? Like, no wonder McCarthy wanted him on the committee. That's the most laughable part of all of this. So you, who spoke to the president of the United States, the guy who told people to go towards the Capitol, you're on the committee investigating it.
I honestly think, and Wolf Clan, this is my opinion. I honestly think that if those people were actually in danger, if those people really would have got close to Pence, based on what they did, I don't think he would have been hurt. They didn't hurt anybody, really. They broke in. They were walking through there. They were taking pictures. They were flying flags. There weren't anybody grabbing. Like, if that were the case, they would have grabbed the cops, tried to take them out of commission to get in. Like, it would have been a lot more violent if they were actually going to go in there and hurt one of these people, I think.
But they killed people. I mean.
Well, no, the only one that died is a cop. Or was a girl that a cop shot? The guy that got hit with the fire extinguisher, that didn't happen there. There's proof that he did not die because of the Capitol riots.
But Sicknick was killed.
No, that's the guy that's not true. He wasn't killed there.
What about the guy who was literally being crushed inside of a doorway? The police officer who's begging for his life.
Well, there was a female that was shot there that was a protester. That's the only death that happened there. The cop that died there did not happen because of there was no fire extinguisher. That story was proven false.
So Sicknick didn't die at the Capitol,
No, he was not the one that was held. His brother, his own brother, testified that he did not die from that.
Okay. Well, as Cutie Pie says, this cop who was smashed up against the doorframe, I beg to differ.
There may have been people that were put in position, but he didn't die. You know, all I'm saying is if there were people that were going in there to kill a vice president, they would have killed anybody who got in their way.
The crushed guy spoke at the commission 2 days ago.
But yeah, just do a search on the Brian the Sicknick guy, and you'll see the story. Like,
well, there was, of course, in the immediate aftermath, there was people saying that the fire extinguisher to the head is what killed somebody, and we know that that's not true. Yeah, this is Brian Sicknick. The evidence-free claim that Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick died from injuries suffered on January 6th reemerged Tuesday during the first day of the hearings at the Democratic-led House Select Committee's inquiry. Sicknick died the day after responding to the riot, which broke out as lawmakers counted electoral votes to affirm President Joe Biden's victory. They said that he had been beaten with a fire extinguisher, but the medical examiner concluded that Sicknick suffered two strokes and that his death was from natural causes. Okay.
Yeah. And that's the thing. all this time, people have been saying, this cop was murdered, this cop was murdered. And that's why everybody's up in arms about this whole January 6th. And they never come out and change the story and say, oh, no, we're sorry, that is not true. This is how he actually died. And his brother even came out about it.
Right. And Ashley Babbitt, of course, we all know that. She was one of the rioters that climbed through the window and was shot by the unidentified Capitol Police officer. As she attempted to climb through the broken window.
Right. That was the only death.
Yeah.
So I can understand people being smacked. I mean, it's a riot. But the thing is, my opinion is, if they were there to murder a vice president and take him out to the gallows, anybody that got in their way of doing that, they would have done something to them. If that was their agenda, they would have been more violent the entire time. Those people were inside taking pictures. They were let in. There were sticks being handed out the windows in the basement of the thing. Like this was somehow allowed to happen, because you're telling me that the United States Capitol, where our government functions, was not protected from 100 or so Trump supporters. I just cannot buy that.
Well, here's my opinion. I think it was awful what happened that day. I think people got really hurt. I think
Agreed.
That, you know, breaking into the Capitol grounds and stealing government laptops, disrupting the election process, the smashing of the Capitol, smashing of doors, terrorizing those people who literally thought they were going to be killed. People on the outsides of those doors were like getting through multiple chambers before they were stopped. You had, you know, Mike Pence saying that they were like one door or something away from Mike Pence at one point. The fact that you didn't have the president of the United States standing up and demanding that people leave the Capitol, instead the opposite is true, sort of gloating about it. In the United States of America, when we claim to be this bastion of freedom, role of democracy around the world. So I think this should have never happened. People taking private jets to fly to Washington, D.C. to storm the Capitol, do whatever they were going to do. Setting up, who brings gallows? Who leaves pipe bombs outside of Democratic headquarters and Republican headquarters? Like, where's that information? Like, leaves bombs in our nation's capital. Who sets up a gallows that wants to hang Mike Pence on the lawn outside of the Capitol building? So all of this needs to be investigated. We need to get to the bottom of it. We need to find out, you know, why it was the National Guard not there. We need to find out why did it seem like there were people high-fiving members of the Capitol Police as they came through the doors? Why did it seem like there were certain entrances that were just left wide open? Like, all of this needs to be investigated. Truth, you know, truth, right? Facts. Let's find some facts here. That's what I want. And if it turns out that, you know what, guess what? There were people in on it in the Capitol.
But the thing is, people don't obviously want the facts. You know, you show people facts that he died of natural causes, and they still can't accept it. Well, but it still had to do with the riot. Like, everybody, there's a thing that I saw today, and I thought I saved it as a picture, and I want to show this because this is so true to what how people are. Let me zoom in on this a little bit and go to my desktop. Okay, it's not very big, but it says, for me to switch to my camera is a big deal here because I got to empty this and then, okay, so let me go to here. It says, sometimes people don't want to hear the truth because they don't want their illusions destroyed. And the thing is, like, a lot of people have these illusions that they've been told how they think this has happened. It's like there are still people out there that believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, even though there's been so much data to prove that there's no way he could have done that on his own. But because that's the illusion that people want to believe, they'll die on that hill. And the thing is, like, as truth starts to present itself, you have to be willing. Like, every story that I read, every story that I hear, I'm willing to pivot when I get more information. It's not like I just sit there and I'm like, oh no, that's BS. The government did it. It's BS. No, I go down rabbit holes. I read, I read articles, I watch videos, and I take in all this information, and then I start to form my opinion. I don't just form it right out of the gate. But you have to be willing, when you get more information, to realize that maybe it didn't happen the way you wanted it to. Like, you want so bad for Trump to be responsible for this. You want so bad for somebody to pay for this. And I understand it was not a good thing that happened. But when truth starts to reveal itself and facts start to appear, you have to be willing to change your opinion.
You know, the thing is with Sicknick, it's like, of course. I mean, in my opinion, the guy died as a result of his injuries from the riot. You don't just, you know, one day earlier, you're whatever happened to him getting hit, then taken to the hospital and then dying from two strokes the next day, quote, natural causes. And yet the day before he was involved in a riot. Okay. To me, are they totally unrelated?
That's what they're saying.
They're totally unrelated. You know, it's like, I just don't buy that. The guy's, he's totally fine. He was just like, they're smiling. No problems. He rushed to the hospital, dies as, you know, dies because of two strokes related to, is it something related to the stress of being involved in this? I mean, who knows, right? Heart condition because of it. I mean, to have it be totally unrelated, I find to be laughable. You know, I just don't buy that. I just don't buy that. But hey, that's why we're here, right?
Yep.
So that's why we're here. Yeah. Anyway. All right. So Jim Jordan. That was the story. Jim Jordan. Will he or won't he have to be subpoenaed as a result of admitting that he spoke to Trump on that day, you know, fomenting a riot at the Capitol? I think so. I think, you know, and it's also, can you really investigate something that you were maybe involved with? Like, is that fair? Is that why McCarthy put him on the committee in the first place? Can you, you know, it's like asking, I don't know, it's like asking, like, I don't know, it's like asking a terrorist to be in, like, to sit in on the investigation of 9/11 commission or something. It's like asking Osama bin Laden or somebody to sit in on a committee and investigate the very thing that they helped, they may have helped cause. Or do nothing to stop it. All these people are running through the building, you know, looking after your colleagues and stealing computers and disrupting the presidential process of actually, installing a new president of the United States. Okay. There you go. That's my thought on that. So everyone's saying they want to hear the CNN story. All right. So the CNN, here's an example of how... So, you know, it's no secret my feeling on CNN. CNN is awful, right? I mean, the mainstream media is terrible, right? Just awful. They continue to spin yarns, continue to spin lies. They are, of course, driven by, they spend their time defending the interests of the military-industrial complex, the relentless bombings of civilians around the world by the United States government. They don't want to call attention to the fact that any of these presidents are responsible for crimes against the rest of the world. 900 military bases around the world. CNN is the worst. CNN is run by billionaires, just like most of the other news organizations are, but they continue to prop up corporate billionaire interests as it relates to the military-industrial complex on a regular, continual basis. Look, CNN made its money off the Iraq War. CNN was established thanks to the Iraq War. Right? That's how they really got put on the map, is thanks to war. So do you think for 1 second CNN is going to stand in the face of the military-industrial complex? No. In fact, they'll laugh at it. That's what CNN does. And good old Brian Stelter over there, who continues to put in ridiculous stories after ridiculous stories.
You're cracking me up.
Sorry, Brian, but it's true. So here is this happened yesterday on CNN, and you know Carl Bernstein, who I'm sure you probably know, Woodward and Bernstein. Carl Bernstein, of course, a great reporter from the Washington Post, who along with Bob Woodward uncovered the Watergate scandal and you know helped topple Richard Nixon as a result, uncovering what happened there, and a great reporter. Okay, Carl Bernstein is. So he's on there talking about Donald Trump. And he said some things that are mostly true, in many ways, but he kind of framed it wrong. But just watch CNN's response. Watch CNN's response to their guest calling the president a war criminal. Watch this.
I find myself, Carl, after a week full of Trump delusion headlines, wondering where we are heading as a country. Where do you see us heading?
Well, I think we need to slow down a bit and deconstruct some of the things that you've just laid out there. The first thing is I'm not a psychiatrist, God knows all of us may have a degree of narcissism, but when we're talking about Trump, we're obviously talking about a kind of delusional madness, such as General Milley was talking about, that is on a scale and a scope that we have never experienced in an American president in our history. I think we need to calmly step back and maybe look at Trump in a different context. He is America's, our own American war criminal, of a kind we've never experienced before.
You just said war criminal. What do you mean, war criminal?
I did. Well, in international law, there have been, quote, crimes against humanity. I think what we're talking about, Trump's crimes as an American war criminal in his own country that he has perpetrated upon our people, including the tens of thousands of people who died because of his homicidal negligence in the pandemic, putting his own electoral interests above the health of our people as they were slaughtered in this pandemic. Looking at his actions in terms of fomenting a coup to hold on to office, in which the head of the American military, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, has now compared Trump, not the press, not reporters comparing Trump to Hitler, but rather the head of the American military comparing him and his movement to brown shirts, to the Reichstag fire. This is a huge wake-up call to this country when General Milley, the head of the American military, has said this. And it fits as a piece with something so extraordinary in our history. It's not political. Trump is not just political. He transcends the political, and we need to start looking at his crimes in that context.
You're going to get heat for talking about war crimes because there's, you know, it's not as if the ICC is setting up a panel or anything.
The ICC, the International Criminal Court. You're going to get heat for that. You're going to get heat for that, for calling him a war criminal. I got news for you. And this is, maybe I'll get heat for this. Every president since World War II has technically been a war criminal in the United States. See if YouTube takes me down for that. It's the truth. Trump increased drone bombings over Obama by 430%. So Bernstein is right. He's just right on the wrong point, I think. My take on this when I saw this was, talking about the Capitol riot is one thing. So fomenting a coup is one thing. But looking past and not mentioning, well, you have the opportunity there, Carl Bernstein, to lay out exactly what you're talking about, to lay out and point to these war crimes that you're talking about. Well, how about, we could talk about bombings in Yemen, bombings in Somalia, killing of innocent people.
Well, and just to be clear, so Bush started the drone program. Obama expanded it by over 400%. Then Trump expanded it over 400%. And it is shown in a lot of research, but if you look at the data coming from those other countries, that 90%+ of the people that die in those drone strikes are innocent people.
Innocent. And the very first attack that President Trump signed off on when he became president was the attack in Yemen, and it killed a 7-year-old girl.
And just so you know also.
With no congressional approval, by the way. That is a war crime.
Yeah,
Criminal Court, that's a war crime. So you're
calling
him a war
criminal.
That's
gone out the window a long time ago.
Yeah, but you're calling him a war criminal, and that's accurate.
Yeah.
When you bomb countries indiscriminately, without congressional approval, by the way, okay, and you're killing innocent lives with no authorization, that is a crime against the world. That is a war crime under the definition. Why is the International Criminal Court not investigating those things? That's maybe the larger question. But the story is just that watching CNN, I mean, so to bring it back to CNN, watching CNN, like, I just can't believe he would say that, that he's a war criminal. I can't. That's just a bridge too far, Carl. We can't. We can't. Look, we are the network here at CNN that supports war. Remember how many generals we have on our payroll? I'm just flabbergasted that you would call these guys war criminals. Come on now. Can we? Are we gonna start calling Biden a war criminal now here on CNN? We can't do that, Carl. What's the difference? I'll say it. When we in the United States spin the idea of bombing countries indiscriminately as protecting us or our soil or our interests, or spread it being a force for good around the world, when you get the real stories out of these regions and you see how many innocent people are killed as a result of the amount of money we spend on our military and bombing around the world.
Well, and Obama officially assassinated two U.S. citizens without due process, Anwar al-Awlaki and his son, Ibrahim, who was 13. Yeah.
And the argument was from the Obama administration on Ibrahim was his son, right? Oh, well, then he should have basically, you know, he had bad parents.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. So when did we start just without congressional approval, without any approval, we can just start killing the children of bad people around the world? Like, that's what we can do with no accountability?
And the kid was actually at a picnic with his friends looking for his father, who he had not yet realized was killed.
So, yeah, CNN just can't handle. So CNN just can't handle. You're gonna get a lot of heat for this. You're going to get a lot of heat for this.
Not just political. He transcends the political, and we need to start looking at his crimes in that context.
You're going to get heat for talking about war crimes.
You're going to get heat for it because we can't touch that here. This is Reliable Sources. This is my show, Reliable Sources. I love the name, by the way, too, Reliable Sources. Where does your money come from at CNN? Where does your money come from? Maybe you should have a disclaimer at the very beginning that talks about the money that you guys get, where it comes from, why you can't tell the truth.
Because there's, you know, it's not as if the ICC is setting up a panel or anything.
Yeah, why aren't they? Maybe that's the question. Why is the International Criminal Court not looking more closely at the United States? Finally, the United States agreed to a UN review of crimes against humanity and civil rights abuses in the United States. Maybe we should. What do you think? Is it okay? Are we just sort of all brainwashed into thinking that it's okay the United States is allowed to indiscriminately bomb countries around the world?
Well, and everybody's like, but it keeps us safe because we're protecting from ourselves from terrorists. But the thing is, every bomb we drop that kills 90% innocent people, we create more terrorists. We're making us less safe with our foreign policy. But when you have $750 billion a year spent on military, we got to justify it every year.
Yeah, we got to, and this is the George W. Bush spin, right? They just, why do terrorists come after us? You know why? Bush used to say, they hate freedom.
Free. Yeah, freedom.
They hate freedom. They hate our freedom.
I think Uruguay is more free than we are.
It's like, no, they don't hate our freedom. They hate us using our freedom as a cudgel and putting military bases in their backyard and killing their people indiscriminately. They hate our freedom. No, they don't hate our freedom. They hate when we kill innocent people. That's what we hate.
I have a relative who's in the Marine Corps, and he was talking about, he's so messed up from his time over there, talking about how they would just stand on the outsides of cities, and if they saw people moving, they just shot in there. Just shot into cities, not knowing if it was a kid, not knowing who, what it was, just shot it. If it moved, they shot it.
Wow. Not surprised. Well, before we get out of here, I want to tell you about our final show sponsor of the day and our friends over at Manly Bands. I love these guys. Buying a wedding band doesn't have to suck. These are gorgeous. For the better part of their lives, our better halves have been fantasizing about the perfect wedding ring. You know, it's wedding season right now. In fact, my four-year-old is going to be a flower girl in an upcoming wedding. They have cut, clarity, carat, color, you name it. For us, not so much. And jewelry stores clearly think the same thing, right? It's all about the women's stuff, right? What about the men? You're trying to find one for men. It's like they've got one little dusty section over in the store. They've got like nothing, right? All the women's, they're all taken care of. But the men, we got crappy, ugly wedding bands. Not anymore. Manly Bands is here to rescue you from an otherwise hellish band buying experience. Manly Bands offers your hand the freedom to look how you want in just about every type of earthly material imaginable, even from space. That's right. So I want to show you the one that I got. This is called the Angler. Gorgeous. Gorgeous.
That is nice.
Really nice. And you have all of these different choices on their website. And the best part is, to know your ring size, they have an app. So you just download the app on your phone and you put your hand on your phone and it measures your finger for you. So you can get the perfect size and it's all taken care of. Once you know your size, it's time for the fun part. That's when you get to pick your Manly Band. They have curated collections like the Jack Daniel's Whiskey Barrel collection. I got the Angler. That's the one that I got.
Do your wedding bands in Portugal go on the right finger, the right hand?
No, I had just put it on this hand because I was holding the microphone in this hand so you can see it.
Gotcha.
Sound out here. And I've been wearing it here on this hand here. So you can see it a little bit better in the sun.
That is nice looking.
So you can choose from all different sizes, all different shapes, all different colors, gold, wood, antler, steel, dinosaur bone, and even meteorites. Yes, you can get a meteorite Manly Band. And guess what? You're going to get 21% off right now. 21% off if you use this URL. If you go to manlybands.com/invest. So to order your Manly Band, get 21% off, plus a free silicon ring that they'll also ship to you. So you get a separate ring for free. Go to manlybands.com/invest. It's right there on your screen. That's manlybands.com/invest for 21% off Manly Bands. The best damn rings, period. Thank you for giving us some men love around here. You know, we always have to, it's always just the women. But these are great. Lisa says, maybe I'll order a new wedding band for my husband for our 36th anniversary. Yeah, there you go, Lisa. Yeah, there you go. Check it out. And they're very affordable. You're going to love them. Pick one that you really think he would like. I think they're gorgeous. I love it. They just don't have any. I mean, you go to the store, they just have terrible collections for men. But the Manly Bands is I wish they were around when I got married 10 years ago. So thanks to Manly Bands for supporting the show. And thanks to all of you for supporting everything that we do here. We are here live every morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. We're going to bring you the stories you won't see in the mainstream media. We're going to get into arguments. We're going to talk about the facts. We're going to get a little uncomfortable, but that's what the show is all about. If you're not uncomfortable, you're not growing, right?
I love being uncomfortable because I'm uncomfortable like with working out or eating new foods and stuff like that. I mean, but if you always stay in your comfort zone, you never grow. You will never grow.
And Belinda brings up a great point. She says, where else in the USA can you interact with the news? Exactly, Belinda. And we have a conversation with our audience here. So if you disagree with us, I'll put it up on the screen. We'll have a conversation about it. You know, this is not, we're not corporate run news media. We're going to give you the stories you're not going to see other places.
And when we have these conversations, what would be good for you guys to do instead of saying, oh, David, you're stupid and you don't know what you're talking about. Go look it up for yourself. Go start seeing what you can find and find the middle, find where you land. This is when you're challenged, don't just shut it down. Challenge yourself to go find and verify and look things up and read and watch videos and get more information. That's how you grow. That's how I grow. Once I hear somebody say something, I'm like, I don't know that I believe that. And I'll go down a rabbit hole of information and read and look and all this other stuff. And maybe you don't have time, but if you don't have time, then don't just completely write it off and disagree.
Yeah. I mean, you can say, hey, David, I think you're an idiot. That's fine too. You can say that. You can say, hey, Clayton, I think you're an idiot. But then just go do some reading on top of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. And Grover, and I think Grover and Pizza agree. They get along nice.
Yeah, Pizza is over here. She's out of the bed now. She's over here chewing on a carrot. I wish I could show it. Let me see if I can move my camera over there.
I can't find my PTZ camera. What? My remote. So I'm like, I got to find the remote. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to
thank you guys. Thank you guys for a great show. Thanks for the heated back and forth. We'll be back here tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Join us live and be sure to turn on that little bell notification so you'll be notified as soon as we go live the first thing in the morning. Peace out, everyone.